to conclude our Nego discussions. So we'd like to focus on a topic which directly connects back to our Gemara, the beginning of the second parak, and that's the question of Ha'aza. So we've alluded to in the past that Nego might be limited to claims that do not require chutzpah. But if a claim requires chutzpah, we call Ha'aza, maybe Nego is not going to work. On the other hand, there are a number of indications that Nego does work, even when chutzpah is required. And one of them might be our sugya. This might be a issue that comes out of the beginning, the very beginning of the second parak of Ksuvos. Could possibly be a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. So what am I talking about? That essentially, what's the case that got us into the whole discussion of Migo, Peshasar, etc.? So in addition to the case of the Ksuba and the fight between the husband and the wife, but the Gemara, the Mishnah, also tells us about a case where there is a disputed plot of land. So Ben is living on this land, he's claiming it's his, and Sammy says it's, or Fanny might say, the other possibility is that it belongs to the Schwartz family. So Ben says, listen, it was part of the Schwartz family, but I bought it. So Mishnah says, okay, since he brought up that it could have been somebody else's, so we believe him, a Pesha Asar, a Pesha Hitter, maybe that's a form of Migo, maybe not. So, if you recall, there was a Machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, about how you interpret a phrase in the Gemara referring to a dead shore, the shore of Shochet, Mashal. But without revisiting that, the same point is essentially echoed in a more explicit Machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. That Rashi seems to say, implicitly, over here, and explicitly in another Dafi Zayin base, that the mechanics here is that the other party is not making any claim. And that Ben just volunteered the fact that the land had been in the Schwartz family beforehand, and the Schwartz family is not coming and actually making a claim which he is arguing. Tosfos at the very beginning of the parak, which is on today's Marmo Kamos, right, Tosfos says, no, it's not true. That this would be equally the case. This is not dependent on a situation where nobody's making a claim. This would be true even if the Schwartz family was making a claim. The Schwartz family came and said, this land is our ancestral land, it's part of our property. And Ben were to say, well, yes, it is, it was, but I bought it from your ancestors, so we'll believe him, because he could have just as easily have said that, no, I never got it from your family, it's been part of the Siegel family forever. So what's the difference between the two? There's a lot of differences between the two, between whether we require it to be offered by Ben or including even a response to the challenge. But one of the major differences, and one we're interested in for today, is Ha'aza. How does Ha'aza play a role? It's a little bit subtle. How is Chutzpah involved here? Right, it's not the same as what we talked about in Modim Mikzah, which we'll come back to in a minute, where it's Ha'aza to deny that somebody lent you money. Right here, there's no loan that's involved. There's no kindness that somebody did. But where's the Ha'aza? Yes, Murray?
He wouldn't tell the guy that it never belonged to your family.
All right, the assumption basically is that people will be inhibited from lying to people who know that they are lying. That is one thing, maybe a lie if you think nobody in the world is going to know. But if you know the person you're fighting with is going to know that you're lying, that takes an extra degree of chutzpah. So if Sammy never knew one way or another whether his land was ever in his family's property, so then, okay, Ben can maybe make it up that he bought it, he didn't buy it, whatever, maybe he has the latitude to not tell the truth. But if Sammy's coming and bringing it up, he says, I remember, I know that this was my grandfather's land. And Ben's going to say to him falsely, no, it never was your land. So Sammy's going to know he's not telling the truth. So to assume that Ben could just as easily say that, just as easily as saying that I bought it from you, he could just as easily say you never owned it in the first place, they're not just as easy. One takes much more chutzpah than the other. Right, to say, yeah, you're right, I know you have childhood memories of playing on this land, but you may not be aware but I bought it from your grandfather. That could be a lie. It doesn't involve the special chutzpah. But to say, what are you talking about? The land was never in your family. And you know whether it was or wasn't, so that's a much higher degree of chutzpah. So according to Rashi's scenario, that's not necessarily a part of the picture. But according to Tosfos' scenario, that is a part of the picture. That even if your alternative lie means saying to the Schwartz family, you never had this ever, and blatantly lying to his face, apparently the Migo is still effective. Right? So it sounds like from our Gemara, at least according to the way Tosfos reads it, that a Migo is effective even if it's a Migo Tahaza, even if it's drawing upon an alternative taina which requires much more chutzpah than the taina you're actually using. Okay, so far so good. Everyone got that? Make sense?
We assume right. That because Rashi's case is where the people who might have won the land never made a claim that they wouldn't be Haza.
So in Rashi's case, you don't necessarily know that Haza is involved. Because in Rashi's case, the two options are basically equal options. Right? Either I could lie to you and say I bought it, or I could lie to you and say that, or I could lie to you and not ever tell you that you ever had it. Neither one requires any chutzpah differential. They're both lies where you're not going to know one way or another while I'm telling you the truth. But in Tosfos' version, so Sammy came and brought it up. Sammy is coming and saying, I know this land was in my property, my family's property. So for Ben to say, yes, but I bought it from you, even if that's a lie, okay, it's not such a mechutzpah lie. But to say that, oh, you're delusional, you never had it in the first place, that's a very chutzpah lie. So to say, well, you could have just as easily said that, I know you could have just as easily said that, that requires greater chutzpah, maybe doesn't have such chutzpah. So apparently Tosfos isn't worried. Tosfos says, yeah, even if the alternative taina involves a lot of chutzpah, still a good migo. Hi.
So, I don't know, I wasn't 100% clear on like, what the like what the conclusion was in the Gemara about whether or not, like, about the alternative case where you say that the person that you're speaking with actually owned it. Like Rashi says, like, oh, whether it's the father owned it or that this guy owns it. I would assume that the reason, like, why we're mentioning specifically the case of the father is because you wouldn't be able to say directly to this person.
Right, for Rashi that might be the case.
Right. So then how does what like reason that the case specifically is speaking?
Right, the Tosfos addresses that a little bit. If you look at Tosfos, he addresses that a little bit. The Tosfos also has another fact on his side that Tosfos basically says that if the Gemara really means to hinge everything on that, then the Gemara would have to say that because that's a huge issue. And the fact that the Gemara doesn't say that, oh, if he comes and brings it up, then this doesn't work. So Tosfos, that shows you that it's not all dependent on that. So why does the Gemara use this language? For whatever reason, it's a different question. But if it really meant to say that it's not going to be the same halacha if the other guy comes with a claim, then they would have to say that. The Gemara doesn't say that, so it doesn't seem like it's true. So basically, what emerges from our sugya is, at least according to Tosfos' reading, is that Migo d'Haza works. Migo still counts, even if your alternative taina means significant chutzpah. Now, of course, as I was talking with some guys in Seder, that it's very hard to say any absolutes here, because you know, the chutzpah is kind of subjective. You know, when is it real chutzpah? There's different levels of chutzpah. And it's hard to say absolutes. Okay, this Gemara tells you this Gemara tells you that. Maybe there's qualitative or quantitative differences. But at least on initial reading, it sounds like from our Gemara that we're not going to factor in a chutzpah differential. Now, the problem is, the main contradiction to this from Shatz is what's the main sugya which seems to tell us that Haza is a factor? Modes of mixes, right? So we know that our original sugya from the first part, from the second part of Ksuvas, that we require somebody who denies part of a taina to take a shvur, right? Even though he should get off scot-free. Right? That if you claim that I owe you money and I say I only owe you half, so we should say, I should get off scot-free. But the Torah, the Gemara seems it didn't arise, so the Torah obligates me to take a shvur. Because you could have thought, well, migo, right? So I could have gotten off completely because I could say, I don't owe you anything. So why doesn't migo save me from the shvur? So says the Gemara, because of ha'aza. right? Because we assume I'm not going to find it so simple to just say, no, I never heard of you. You lent me money, I never heard of you. That requires a lot of chutzpah to completely deny that somebody who did me a chesed exists. That requires a lot of chutzpah, and we don't assume that I find that equally possible. Okay, so is there a direct steer now between our Gemara with Tosfos, that Ha'aza is okay if we go, and the Din of Odom Mixas that says Ha'aza is not okay? Is there a direct steer, or is there a way to reconcile it? What do you think? So, again, just to get it out of the way, you know, you could argue about it. Are all Ha'azas equal? So, in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, you have the Ha'aza of denying that a person who did you a kindness actually helped you. Maybe that's a certain degree of chutzpah that we don't think is possible. The chutzpah in Ksubis is about lying to somebody who knows you're lying. Maybe that's a different kind of chutzpah. You know, maybe the chutzpahs aren't equal. You could argue about that. But let's, as valid as a path as that might be, let's set that aside. And let's assume that the chutzpah is comparable. That the chutzpah of Ksubis and the chutzpah of Bava Metzia is comparable. And somehow, in Bava Metzia, chutzpah is not available to you. And in Ksubis it is. Is there any clear difference between the two? Akiva? Okay, see what you want to ask now, you don't know about? No, okay. So, sorry? No, okay. So we'll let you give that to the thought. So one major issue that a number we show and pick up on is, it depends, what are we talking about? That in the case of Ksubis, what are you getting out of with your amigo? A monetary claim. Right? Somebody wants to take his land away from you, mamo, and you're saying, no, I'm going to keep it. So the amigo is effective for you to hold on to your mamo. In Bava Metzia, what is the potential amigo potentially going to help you with? Mamo or something else? A shvua, right? That's what you want to get out of. So you could have thought, either way, you're not obligated to pay money. The only question is, should you have to take a shul? So the whole premise is that you should, in both cases, kofar akol and modem mixas, they both don't have to pay money. The only difference is that a kofar akol gets off scot-free, and a modem mixas has to take a shul. So maybe the issue is, migo doesn't get you out of a shul. Or maybe in this case, migo de ha'aza doesn't get you out of a shul.
You don't take a shul either. Yeah.
Yes, so that point is raised by Rishonim, which we'll mention in a minute, so the point is well taken. But at least on the surface, we could distinguish. You know, your point is that maybe distinction is a semantic distinction, because shul boils down to money. We'll come back to that in a minute. But at least on the surface, there is a distinction here, that one's about a shul and one's about mama. And so if that's the case, maybe that's the difference. And there's a number of posts, and I didn't put them all in the comments because I wasn't sure how much to weigh you down with every mucker in Shas. But one place, for example, if you look in Bava Kama and Daf Kuf Zayin, there's a post that says like this, and a post with a few other places in Shas, but also says like that, and says that's essentially the issue. Right? That Migo the Ha'aza will get you out of money, will get you out of a monetary point. But it won't get you out of the shul. And this is also explicitly stated by the Ran, which I did put on today's Marmakomos, the Ran in the back of the Gemara in Shavuos, and Daf Chavav v'Daf Harif, in the beginning of the seventh parak, that the Ran basically says like this also, that Migo the Ha'aza can get you out of a monetary claim, but it can't get you out of a Shavuot. And the Achronim explained the Ran to basically say, we'll have to see if this is enough, that really, Migo d'Ha'aza is not a good Migo. It's a pretty low-level Migo. Right? It's not so solid a point to say that you could just as easily go for this chutzpahdik option. So as far as Migos are concerned, this is a pretty weak Migo. But the way the Afronim explained the Ran is that if you're just defending your mama, so the Mukhsak already comes from a pretty strong position. So he doesn't need a very strong Migo. So a Shrach Migo, a weak Migo, like Migo the Haza is effective. But for sure, maybe not. Okay, so far so good. Yeah, everybody with me? So that's the way the Ran and others seem to hold. There are some Rishonim who go even farther than this, by the way. The Rimigash and the Rambam. The Rambam can help us point to this in Parakeh Halacha Dalet. They hold that Migo doesn't work for Shavuot at all. It's not just the Migo of the Ha'azah issue. But Migo and Shavuot have nothing to do with each other. And Migo does not have any impact on the Shavuot. And in general, it's the fact that they agree is not so surprising. The Rimigash was the Rebbe of the Rambam's father. And therefore, the Rambam often passes like the Rimigash. And that's not surprising that you find that here. In fact, remember yesterday, I think we talked about the concept of Kimli, or last week, we talked about the fact that you're allowed to invoke a minority Shita in your defense when you want to hold on to Mammon. So there's a discussion in the Poskim whether the Rambam and the Rimigash, are they considered to be two Shitas Lahalacha or one? That maybe the Rambam always has something like the Rimigash in these things, and therefore that's all one view, that's not even two views. So not so surprising, here you have the Rimigash and the Rambam, both on record about this, that it's not an issue with Migo the Ha'adza, it's that Shavuot doesn't have Migo capability at all. So therefore, the steer between our Gemaras is that in Bava Metzia it's about a Shavuot, so Migo Bechlal doesn't come into the conversation. And in our Gemara in Subis, Migo does work, so we don't even have to talk about whether one's Ha'adza, one's not Ha'adza. It's our Gemara is about money, and Migos are good. And the Gemara above Metzia is about Shua, so Migo is no good. So that's the Rambam and the Rimigash. But most Rishonim say it is about Haza, and that when it comes to Shua, it's not effective. When it comes to money, it is.
Is there a reason for why Migo wouldn't work with Shua? Is there?
Oh, so parenthetically, we're going to focus today more on the Haza distinction. But you could say, in a pretty straightforward way probably, similar to what we said last week talking about Migo Lahotzi, that maybe Migo is, I'll mention some more explanations in a few minutes, but just probably the simplest one, is that maybe Migo is only about Lahotzik, and that it doesn't work for other things. So maybe in the same sense of Migo Lahotzi Lo Amrina, we mentioned the explanation last week, that it simply doesn't enter into the conversation when you're trying to get away from somebody else. Not that it's not strong enough, it's just not the tool for that. So maybe also when it comes to Shavua, it's not a tool for Shavuas, it's a tool to hold on to your money. But a Shavua is independent. People who have Chazakas also have to take Shavuas, that's what we see. So therefore, the fact that you have a Migo backing up your Chazaka doesn't get you out of the Shavua. So that's if you make the absolute distinction, like the Rambam and the Megash. But what if you make this distinction that Ha'aza works for money, but Ha'aza doesn't work for Shavua? So the Rush asks this question. Right, the Rush also in Shavuos, I think it's on today's Mara Komos, and the Rush in the beginning of the 7th Parakeh Ksuvos, he quotes the Rimigash. And he says, what are you talking about? It doesn't work for Shavuot. Echoing the same language we saw from the Rashba previously, the Rush says, Migo's Daraisa. So if Migo's Daraisa, why shouldn't it work for Shavuot? It works for Mammon, it should work for Shavuot too. He doesn't understand logically why should it be that it doesn't work for Shavuot. And then he says essentially Morty's question from before. He says the distinction between Shavuot and Mammon is really a false distinction, because if you don't take a Shavuot, you could end up paying money. Right? It's exactly what Morty said before. That how could you really distinguish between a Shavuot and Mammon as if they're different worlds? One could easily morph into the other. So the Rush doesn't understand why there's a chilah. He says, what about Modim and Mikzas and other sukkahs like that? Well, that's a Migo the Ha'aza, it's a bad Migo, like the other Rishonim say, so it doesn't work for Shul. Do you see a little bit of a difficulty in the Rush's question? As the Stipler and others point out, what's a little bit difficult about what the Rush says? And that here he just gave this whole speech. Why should we distinguish between a Shavuot and Mammon? They're all the same thing. A Shavuot equals Mammon, and Migo Daraisa. No difference. Rimigash, I don't know what world you're coming from. But then, Ha'aza works for Mammon, but not for Shavuot. make up your mind. Are they the same, or is there a difference? Now you hear the question, right? So in the same breath, he's saying there's no distinction. And then to explain the distinction, oh, well, Haza is different. How does that fit? This is the point of Stipler. And others are the Stipler, by the way, if you want to read it. It's a nice short piece. It's in Bava Metzia. Stipler in the beginning of Bava Metzia has this discussion. So the Ktos has an approach which also echoes Morty. We'll come again. It echoes something that Morty said yesterday a little bit in a funny way. That, remember Morty said yesterday that maybe, ironically, we should believe somebody more if they're a liar, because if they're a liar, they'd be able to lie better. Right? So Ktos says something a little bit similar. That why does ego work in general, even if it's ha'aza, even if it involves chutzpah? Says the Ktos, what do you suspect of this guy? You think this guy is trying to steal from me. Right? You think this guy is either trying to move money illegitimately or hold on to money illegitimately, but you think this guy is basically trying to steal from me. So if you think he's a ganav, so presumably you also think he's got enough chutzpah to give you a bad lie. So the fact that it would take chutzpah to use that alternative timing doesn't mean that he should be assume not to have that chutzpah. You think he's stealing from you in the first place. So Mort's a little similar to your point, to saying the very fact that he's alleged, he's accused of being a ganav, gives him credibility as nego, because you won't say, well, maybe you're not willing to what's the big lie. We think you are willing to do pretty bad things. So therefore, the fact that you're not doing that ironically makes nego work. So for the purposes of money, Migo is effective because even if it's a Migo to Ha'aza, because he's already assumed to be in the chutzah. So we don't assume that the chutzah to Taina is off limits. But for a Shvuah is a different story. There's a couple ways to say why Shvuah is a different story. But essentially, the Ktos says it a little bit differently than this. But essentially, the Shvuah is already there even though you don't think the guy is telling the truth. The Shvuah is a tool of intimidation. And we make people take shvuas as a process, even if we think they're liars. So, okay, the fact that the migo gives them some kind of credibility doesn't necessarily affect the whole shvuah occasion. So that's how the Ktos says. The Stipler doesn't think that that's really the explanation. The Stipler says differently. And this really draws on everything that we've seen so far. So says the Stipler, we talked about whether Migo is about credibility or whether it's about Tekoa Chatayim. So says the Stipler, it could be both, or it could be either. It depends on the circumstance. Sometimes Migo is there to establish that you're telling the truth. And sometimes it's there to establish that you have a range of Tainas, and therefore you have the Koach of all of those Tainas. So when it comes to, let's say, a shvuah, which type of migo would you need? What do you think?
To get out of
a shvuah, right? What type of migo?
If you say this, the truth.
Right, right? The whole point of shvuah is there to establish your credibility. So maybe, okay, if you're such an obviously honest guy because you have your migo, that'll get you out of the shvuah if a migo is about credibility. If a migo is about koach hatana, so then that could be good to protect your money, but it doesn't have anything to do with credibility. So why should that get you out of the shul? Right? You hear the point? It's a pretty solid point. That if amigo is about credibility, it'll get you out of the shul and money. But if amigo is about koach hatayna, that might be good for money, it doesn't really have much to do with the shul. So it says the Stipler, what's amigo to ha'az? A migo de ha'aza is a shvach migo. Right? It doesn't really prove your credibility. Because it could be you have a reason for not taking a migo de ha'aza. Migo de ha'aza requires greater chutzpah. Right? Especially the migo de ha'aza of tzubis, more than about to see if you really want to distinguish between them. Right? So it's also a more dangerous lie for you. Right? Just without worrying about chutzpah specifically, but even just in terms of the logic of liars. Right, if the other guy knows you're lying, it's a more dangerous lie. It's more dangerous for Ben to say to Sammy, that you never owned it in the first place, when he knows I'm not telling the truth, when Sammy knows it's not true, who knows what evidence he might be able to find somewhere that'll prove his point. And then Ben's really going to get blown out of the water. So it's simply in terms of his own self-interest, he might choose to pick a lie that's going to be harder for him to challenge. Or he doesn't know that it's false. So amigo de haza is not really great for credibility. Especially in our case, especially in Zubas. So amigo de haza, maybe it's just a koach hatayna. It happens to be a claim you could use in this nebala chutzpa, but it doesn't establish credibility. So therefore, says the Stipler, very nicely, that amigo de haza is good for mamon, it's good as a taina that you could use, but to get you out of the shvua, it's not really helpful, because it doesn't establish that you're telling the truth. Now, if it's a normal amigo, if it's not amigo de haza, if it's amigo of 100% credibility, then maybe taka, that could get you out of the shvua too. Again, it's the Rimigash and Rambam who says no amigo gets you out of the shvua, but the other Rishon will say that it could. So yeah, amigo that's about credibility, that will get you out of the shvua, like the Russian, a lot of the Rishon. Hi.
You mentioned one of the possible understandings of amigo is that it's a combination of really both kohatana and it's also about credibility.
Right.
Yeah, since he has a kohatana, then it's probably that he has credibility. So if you combine it through like that, then it
Yeah, he doesn't necessarily have to sign on to that aura, but again, part of the ambiguity here is that everything's a little bit subjective. So you could say, that explanation you're referencing, could say that amigo is about credibility, it's credibility points, so that's where your koach hatayna comes from, but it's not absolute credibility. So there could be amigo that's absolute credibility, you really have multiple options, therefore you have no reason whatsoever to lie. Or it could be that it's slightly about credibility, it enhances your credibility, but it's not perfect, and therefore it's not so strong. So there's always room to distinguish between different cases along the scale. Okay, so I think that Stipler is very important. Just want to mention the time we have left, maybe three more points. So one is just a question to ask, and I think this is something really worth keeping in mind as the CV Sug is, and I was mentioning this to some of the guys this morning, is that part of the fascinating component of this sugya, of Metzia sugya, of other sugyas that we find in Mamas, is that many of these dinim do not have a marker. There's no pasuk in Chumash that's being identified as the source for these dinim, and yet the assumption is that they're deraisa. So for that to be true, if they're Rabbanan, okay, we can understand it. Chazal put in certain mechanisms in order to regulate how we do business. But the assumption seems to be that we're dealing with Daraisis here. So there were some Rishonim who said Migo is Rabbanim, but most of Rishonim clearly assume Migo is Daraisa. We saw the Rashba saying that, we saw the Rush saying that just now, we saw Tosfos all over the place saying that. It seems to be certainly the prevalent assumption that Migo is Daraisa. So if Migo is from Pesha Asar, okay, so Mar has a source for Pesha Asar. But if it's not, it doesn't seem like it has a source. So you have to say that it is a svara deraisa. Essentially, it's a logical principle that was self-evident to Chazal that when you have the mechanics of Migo, they're effective. So I want to just ask you a question. I'm not sure if there's an absolute answer to this, but which version of Migo is more self-evident to you? Migo as credibility or Migo as koach hatayna? Sorry? Koach hatayna. Okay, so you want to flesh it out? You could be right. I don't think I have to answer this. I think if you want to say like that, just to flesh out a little more in the interest of time, it could mean that if you say Migo is essentially not the tool, it is just a reflection of reality, like we said last week in the Ramah, that maybe your taina is really automatically there anyway. That you win because of your position of strength. And you don't even have to make a taina. The taina is only made so that we can figure out the facts. So then maybe Migo is just saying that the taina is already there. So the taina is there, daraisa is here again, daraisa. And we don't need to add anything to it. So we don't need a source for Migo. All Migo is telling us is that your already strong position continues to be strong. That we just rely on what's already there, and we don't need an extra source.
There's more proof why it's competent.
Say again, there's also more what?
There's more proof to why it's competent versus credibility. Not only is it interesting, but also I feel like you can't get other people's stuff out of it. You can't get the OTF. It doesn't work.
According to those who've shown it.
Right. Maybe it doesn't work by property. But because of that, it shows competent. Versus by credibility, it should work in those cases.
That could also be true, right? So again, each position you're going to find, there's going to be some Rishon who says it, so you're going to have to figure out, but you're probably right. So I think that to support Morty's point, that if you want to say that it's Koach HaKaina, maybe that is compatible with saying it's a self-evident Svar. On the other hand, if you want to say that it's about credibility, is that a self-evident Svar? I think it depends. I think it would have to be only in the absolute cases where you really have no motivation for lies, then you can say, listen, it's clearly the case. There's a svara that is irrefutable, that he has no motive to lie, and therefore he's got to be telling the truth. That would be the case. In a case like Migo Dehaza, as we saw today, let's say again, in our parrot, it's a little bit weaker, right? Because you really could have a good reason not to take a lie that the other guy is going to know about. And therefore, are we so confident that he's not lying just because he took this avenue? I don't know. You know, in some cases you could believe that Migo is absolutely rock solid like that. In other cases, maybe not. And for it to be as far as the Raisa, it sounds like it would have to really be rock solid and irrefutable. Okay, so that's just one question. It's worth thinking about. Two more points, both from Gidolin, who had some connection to our yeshiva. So one is the aforementioned Bitzvachan, the yeshiva is named after, so in his Nachal Yitzchak, so he discusses, to come back to Shmuley's question from before, the question of are there other reasons to say that Migo shouldn't work for a shul at all? So one of the things that we've seen throughout this discussion is we talk about Migo, Ro, Bari, etc., etc., so they work in different ways, that some of them work as a viewer is a path to the truth. Some work as just a policy. We discuss whether Rose is qualitatively different than Migo, whether it's qualitatively the same as Migo. So Mr. Hanan, in this assumption, he works off the assumption that Migo is Rove. Again, that Migo is equal to Rove. So therefore, all the rules have to apply. So we had been discussing last week that Rove can't be Motsi Min HaMosa, and maybe that's why Migo can't be Motsi Min HaMosa. So Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan applies another point of comparison. It says that Rove, we follow a Rove when we don't know anything else. We don't have any more information, so we follow a Rove. But if it's possible to be Mavara, if you could figure out the truth, you're obligated in any Rove situation, the Aradeya and Kosh Mishpah, whatever it is, any Rove situation, if you could figure out more, you're obligated to pursue that. When you don't have any more information potential, so then we fall back on rope. But if you have a way of knowing the truth, you don't have the right to rely on rope. You rely on rope only when you don't know what else is going on. So therefore, it says to Chanan, Migo's got to be the same thing. That we'll use Migo if we have no other way to tell the truth. No, to ascertain the truth. But if we have another way to be mavar the truth, then we have to do that too. So he says, what's a shvua? A shvua is part of our mechanism to try to figure out the truth. But we assume that someone's going to be inhibited from lying when he has a shvua. So yes, we can rely on ego, but we still have to have a shvua too, because a shvua is part of the process of figuring out the truth. And just like when we use a rogue, we would also use all our truth tools. So too, when we have amigo, we use our truth tools also. And therefore, he should have to take the shvua and not get off of that. Okay? So let's mention one last point from somebody who actually was a Rebbe in our yeshiva, long before your time or my time or any of our times, the Matriter Ilud. Familiar with that name? Shlomo Palachek, known as the Ilud in the Matriter. And it's a Rebbe here at the Yeshiva Shukhanan. And there's a volume you can get in the library of the Chidushe Ha'ilu Yimei Chit. So just to kind of close off the legal discussion, he has an interesting point, which I think on some level we've been thinking along these lines as a kind of a question about the whole legal system. He basically says, why is it that ego is not an absolute mavara? So, for example, if you want to say that ego cannot be motzim in a muktzah, why is not ego an absolute tool? He says like this. What's the whole logic of ego? Right, the whole logic of ego is, I have no reason to... Let's say I have two claims I can make. One claim that I would win, and one claim that I would lose. And I make the losing claim. So why do I win anyway? Because I could have made the winning claim, so therefore, the fact that I didn't means I'm probably not lying. Right? So far, so good? However, once you have a halacha of ego, and like we said in the past, theoretically you could game the system if you know about ego. Right? So once you have a halacha of ego, so now what happens? So now both claims are winning claims. If ego never existed as a concept, you'd have one winning claim and one losing claim. So the fact that you make the losing claim when you could have made the winning claim, that means you're an honest man. But when ego exists, so now they're both winning claims. Right? So now it's no longer true that you're an honest man for taking the losing claim. You have two winning claims, so maybe you are lying. Well, you have two winning claims, so you could have equally picked either one. So maybe you are lying. But if you follow that logic, then what would happen? Okay, so now let's undo the halakha of ego. Let's cancel ego because you could gain it. Aye, but if we cancel it, then it comes back. Right? It's a vicious circle, so to speak. It's kind of a bogus trip. It's a paradox because the existence of ego means that ego shouldn't work. But if that means we should cancel ego, so then ego goes back to working. So your head explodes, right? Basically, so what are you left with? You can't leave ego in place because it undermines itself. But if you cancel ego, then you go back to having ego. So says the Major Chirilo, that's why ego essentially is not an absolute desire. It works because it has to stay in place in order to keep the balance of power from having a space and time collapse within itself. But essentially, it's not an absolute mavara because it's possible to gain the system. And therefore, essentially, it's a suffix. Essentially, it's enough of a suffix to leave things as they are. You can keep your chazaka, but you can't create an absolute mirror through it because of its internal paradoxes. Because essentially, it's going to destroy itself. Follow? So that was an interesting point on which to conclude that point. Same question?
Yeah, just on Rabbi's comments. According to him, would there even be a difference between the Migo, the Hausa, and the other ones? They're all the same
Rambam? So he'd say probably his position really comes to support the Rambam and the Rim Nagash. That really Migo should never work, or no kind of Migo should work for a Shavua. Because amigo is only there when you have no other verification process, and therefore you should be obligated to pursue the verification to whatever extent that's possible. So it's really in support of the Rumbagash and the Rambam that there's no amigo for Shul at all. Okay, so I'll just quickly pause what we spoke about, but any questions so far? Anybody follow? Make sense more or less? Okay, so again, tomorrow we'll do Yonah Diyom, but just to quickly pause what we spoke about today. So we spoke about the following, that our sugya, at least according to Tosfos, our sugya sounds like Migo Da'aza does work, because Tosfos is reading the person who's claiming to have bought the land, the alternative claim that he never had, the land never belonged to the other family in the first place, would be quite a chutzpahdik lie, because it would involve lying to somebody who knows you're lying, and that's Da'aza, but apparently it works, at least in Tosfos is reading, maybe against Rashi. But from Odu Mitzas, we seem to see that Haza doesn't work, that we don't get you off the hook of the Shavua, because your alternative of saying the Kofar Bakol requires too much chutzpah to say you never borrowed money in the first place. So which is it? How do you reconcile? So you said you could reconcile by distinguishing between the Ha'azos, but assuming that they're comparable, so how do you reconcile? So most Rishonim say that Migo the Ha'aza is good to get you out of Mamon, but not to get you out of Shavua. It's the way Tosfos in many places says, and the way the Ran says in Shavuos. And Cronim explained that Migo Da'aza is really a shock Migo. We don't like it so much. But you don't need so much of the power to keep your money, to be a Mutzak, so therefore Migo is enough. And that's how that Cronim explained. Meanwhile, the Rambam and the Ribigash say that, the resolution of the Sukkot is that Shavuos don't have Migos at all. Migo is only for Mamonos, which could be explained a couple of ways. So the Rush asks on that. The Rush says, why should that be true? Amigo was the Raisa, so it should work for Shavua also, and Shavua could also lead to monetary losses, so for sure it should work. And the only issue here is that Ha'azda doesn't work for Shavua, it works for Mamonos. The Stiker says, you just got back from saying that there's no difference, and I think there is a difference. So what's the story? So the Kso says, well, when it comes to money, so you think the guy's a Ghana, so you think he is a Chutzpah guy, so then he is equally available to use the Chutzpah time. But when it comes to Shur, that's not really relevant because the Shur is addressing something else. But in general, for Mamonis, so yes, Migo to Azza should work because the whole point is that you think he's a Chutzpah anyway, so paradoxically that works in his favor to give him credibility. So Stike doesn't like that so much. And it says essentially that we have two powers of Migo, credibility and Koach HaKaina. And Koach HaKaina is relevant for money, but it's not relevant for Shur. For Shur, you need Migo of credibility. So Amigo de Ha'aza doesn't give you any credibility, it gives you Koach HaTaina, so you can hold on to your money. But for Shur, you need a full Amigo of credibility to get you off the hook. And then we just asked, you know, in terms of assuming that Amigo is Deraisa, so which form of Amigo strikes you as more of a swara that's unassailable by the count is Deraisa? The Koach HaTaina, we discussed a little bit how that would work, or the credibility, we discussed a little bit how that would work. And then we just mentioned the two points from our yeshiva associated individuals that the Mishpachana, who explains essentially the position why it shouldn't work for any kind of Shavua, because any kind of Migo shouldn't work for any kind of Shavua, because a Migo is like robe. And just like a robe, if you could be Mavarit, you want you to be Mavarit. So too, with Migo, if you could be Mavarit, you have to be Mavarit, and that's what a Shavua comes to do. While according to and then we mentioned Meir Shterilo. Meir Shterilo says the reason Migo is not 100% Nemanis is that Migo essentially has an internal paradox that it gives you credibility, but then once we have this mechanism to acknowledge your credibility for Migo, it's possible for you to game the system and to abuse it. So then we should get rid of Migo. If we get rid of Migo, then Migo comes back because then the logic goes back to being true. So we can't get rid of Migo, we can't keep it, can't live with it, can't live without it. So essentially, it basically ends up as a suffix. It's not a real revirer because of its internal paradoxes, but it's still there because we can't get rid of it, so it creates a suffix for those purposes, but not an absolute chazak. All right? Everybody good? All right, so I wish you a wonderful day. And God willing, tomorrow we'll talk about the Yom HaKippur.